Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Grace the Doctor, Kate has mewed!
Rustin once, Chris Barnes has won!
Fire cries, tis time!
Down. Out the hard drive, girl.
Into the poison audio throw.
Maud, the in a college thrive.
Episodes has 20 and 5.
Sweltered Conan, sleeping god.
Boiled out first in the chum.
Double, toil and trouble.
Gabon and cauldron gobble.
Bring you a tale of a man with two minds.
A good doctor
and one a murderous sly.
So listen closely if you dare,
and be not immune to a murderer's glare.
Listen now to the infamous story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
NBC presents Short Story. Today, Robert Louis Stevenson. Robert Louis Stevenson, Scottish novelist, essayist, poet, and short story writer, is best known for his tales of fantasy and adventure, and his romantic essays in the personal vein. One of his most famous stories we'll hear dramatized today, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which was first published in 1886. In this classic battle between good and evil, we find Dr. Jekyll, a man beloved by all for his philanthropic endeavors, and Mr. Hyde, who is positively loathsome and plunges into all manner of evil. You see, Dr. Jekyll has discovered a potion that... But that's part of our story, which will begin in just a moment. And now, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Every man is truly two beings, cursed with the struggle of good and evil within him. What would this duality be like, separated? Each part living alone. The good companion, and then the pure and ugly evil of a man. That you, Poole?
Yes, Dr. Jekyll.
Then come in. Did you get the salt?
Yes, sir. Finally, sir. But only 3 pounds of it. It was all the chemist had.
Good. It will suffice. Thank you, Poole.
Anything else, sir?
No, Poole. Good night.
I beg pardon, sir, if I may ask. Is the experiment nearly done?
I think so, Poole. This time, I think it's really nearly done.
Ah, splendid, sir. Cook will be glad to hear it, too.
Yes,
good night, sir.
Good night.
Acid. A gram of the salt. Now.
as your courage, Jekyll. Drink it. Drink it. Here. The mirror. Look. Your face. Your face. The essence of evil within you growing before your eyes. There's breath in your other half, Jekyll. You've given him the miracle of life. The essence of the hidden evil in a man, Dr. Jekyll. The miracle of consummate evil come to life. The hidden soul of Jekyll. I am Mr. Hyde.
That night, like a shadow from an evil place, a stooped figure walked alone in the London streets. About him was a feeling of deformity and decay. He had come from the by-street door of Dr. Henry Jekyll's house, from his laboratory. And it was this same door he entered again when the first light of dawn dispelled the night. But during the day, the house and the laboratory were quiet, while the master slept. That evening, Mr. Utterson, the lawyer, stood before the bright fire in the library. Dr. Jekyll had...
This will is preposterous, Jekyll. I'm your lawyer,
well,
yes,
there's nothing to be so concerned about, Utterson. Edward Hyde is a new friend of mine. I want to be sure he's provided for in case something happens to me, that's all.
But nothing's going to happen to you. How could you just disappear, as you've stated in this testament?
Well, now, how could I know that, Utterson?
Well, it's strange, Jekyll, but if this is the way you want it...
Hyde has captured my interest, Utterson. His well-being is the one thing uppermost in my mind. I want to be certain, in case something does happen to me, that Hyde will be financially secure to carry on.
I see. Well, all right, Jekyll, as you wish. The will be ready for your signature in a few days. I'll bring it around myself.
Splendid, Utterson. Now, what about that spot of wine?
Thanks, no. Dr. Lanyon's expecting me.
Lanyon,
he was only asking about you the other evening, Jekyll. We see you so seldom these days.
Well, I've been rather hard at it in the laboratory. Sure you can't stay.
Another time. Good night, Jekyll.
Good night.
Wonder who the devil this Edward Hyde is.
Mr. Utterson was the first of many Londoners who were to wonder about the hideous specter-like Mr. Hyde, who were to fear the shadows of night because of him. One evening, nearly a week later...
Here, young fellow. What's the matter?
It's a monster, sir. He struck me with his cane. Help me, sir, please.
There. Nobody's going to hurt you. Now, where is this monster you speak of?
He was right behind me, sir. All the way from Clement Street. Look, there, under the corner light. You'll not let him come at me again, will you, sir? Will you?
No, my lad. No harm will come to you.
Oh, sir.
He's seen us now. Wait. By George, it is a monster.
Look, sir, he's making for that doorway. The small one in the shadow, just there.
So he is. Hey, here, fellow. Wait a minute there. Come along, my lad.
But, sir, don't let him...
It's all right now. Don't be afraid. You there. Did you strike this child?
If the ruffian molests me again, I'll strike him again.
What kind of a devil are you?
There's no gentleman but wishes to avoid a scene. It was an accident. Maybe this pound note will ease the boy's pain.
Oh, no.
Take it, lad.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Wait a moment. And this door. Isn't this Jekyll's laboratory? You must be Mr. Hyde. I'm an old friend of the doctor's, Utterson of Gaunt Street. You must have heard of me. I was just on my way to see Jekyll.
How did you know I'm Mr. Hyde?
Oh, we have common friends.
Who are they?
Jekyll, for one. Let me see your face, Mr. Hyde. How well shall I know you when we meet again?
We shall not meet again, Mr. Utterson.
Well, so that is Hyde. Now, my lad, run along. I've got a call to make.
In this house, sir?
Yes, but at the front door. I want to see if Mr. Jekyll's in. Now, my lad, you run along home, and don't let me catch you out on the dark streets like this again.
Yes, sir, you won't, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Poole.
Good evening, Mr. Utterson.
Dr. Jekyll home, Poole?
I'm afraid not, sir.
Thought you'd be here at this late hour.
And most gently he is, sir.
I just saw that Hyde fellow go in by the laboratory door. Is that right, when Dr. Jekyll's away from home?
Quite right, Mr. Utterson. Mr. Hyde has a key.
Your master seems to put a great deal of trust in him.
Yes, sir, he does indeed. We all have orders to obey him, though we see him seldom. He mostly comes and goes by the street door and at night, sir.
Well, tell Dr. Jekyll I'd like to see him as soon as possible and give him these papers, will you, Poole?
Yes.
I was talking with him about them a few days ago.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Poole.
Good night, Mr. Utterson.
The sword, Mr. Hyde. Hurry. Mix it well. Pour the powder in slowly. Now, drink it. Now. Look. The strength of good, Mr. Hyde. The triumphant strength of good. What your face. The terror of your eyes unclouding. Straightening of your crooked, evil soul. The masking of an ugly idol in the glass. It's the last of you, Mr. Hyde. You'll never exist again.
That's you, Dr. Jekyll?
Yes, Poole.
I'm so sorry, sir. I only just told Mr. Utterson that you were not at home.
I came in by the laboratory door, Poole.
But Mr. Hyde, sir...
Hyde is gone.
Oh, I see. Mr. Utterson left this paper... envelope, sir. He asked also to see you as soon as possible.
Well, thank you. Put it there.
Shall I bring you some chocolate, sir?
No. No, I'll go to bed. I'm very tired, Pooh. I've been alone too much lately. What do you say to my taking your advice and having that dinner party?
Oh, that would be like old times, sir.
We'll talk it over tomorrow.
Splendid, sir.
And, Pooh, I don't think Mr. Hyde will be back again.
Good evening. Come right in, sir.
Dr. Lanyon and Miss Julie, come in.
Hello, Jekyll. Good to see you out of that shell after all these months. This isn't going to be one of those stuffy dinner parties, is it?
Pay no attention to him, Dr. Jekyll.
Your hat and coat, Dr. Lanyon.
Oh, yes, Poole. By the way, Jekyll.
Yes.
This is your walking stick, isn't it?
Right. Well, so it is.
You went off with mine the last time you were over and left yours.
Did I? I am sorry. Look for Dr. Lanyon's cane, will you, Poole?
Yes, sir.
Of course, I'd rather have this one. I'm fond of canes in sherry. A little dog's head is nicely carved.
Well, perhaps we'll arrange a swap someday.
Well, Dr. Jekyll, good evening.
Good, Sir Andrew. Hello there.
Where have you been hiding all these weeks?
Hiding? Right here, Sir Andrew, right here.
Well, we've missed you. Mrs. Fielding's dinners aren't the same without Dr. Jekyll.
Well, thank you,
I must say it's good to see you, Jekyll.
Utterson.
You're not evading me this time. Been trying to see you all week.
Why, something on your mind?
Not here, old fellow. Come along. We can steal out a few minutes before dinner.
But only a few. I've got a house full of guests, remember. Look, there's nobody here in the laboratory. Sit down. By the fire.
My word. It does look like you've been working.
Well, it takes a lot of equipment for chemical experiments. Now, what's up?
You should know without asking. That will, of course.
Oh, that.
I don't like it, Jekyll.
You never did.
And especially since I've met your Mr. Hyde. He's a frightful fellow, Jekyll. The other night...
Let's not talk about it, Utterson. It's not as you fancy. I can be rid of Hyde the moment I choose.
What's the matter?
I was just going to say, let's leave the will as it is. And will you promise me one thing?
What's that?
I still take a great interest in Hyde, and I only ask for justice for... You to help him if the time comes.
when I'm no longer here.
Oh, the whole thing's preposterous, but... Well, it's a promise. I'll do my best. Well, look here, Jekyll. Are you ill?
No. No, I...
But... Your face, man. Your face...
Don't look at me, Anderson.
Jekyll, wait a minute.
He saw you, Mr. Hyde. My eyes.
Let me alone. Let me alone. You've got to die and stay dead forever.
You're afraid, Mr. Hyde. Afraid of him. Can you kill the strongest force in the world? You've got to have the strength of Hyde to murder the inordinate strength of Hyde. You can't kill me, Jekyll. The good in you can never kill. And I shall never die. Not as long as you can live.
Hannah, what's the matter with you?
Oh, Miss Julie, close the window. Close the window, quick.
What happened?
That hideous creature we heard about, ma'am. That Mr. Hyde. I just saw him kill a man.
Kill a man?
Where? In the street, just outside. I screamed and he looked up at me like a wild man he was. Oh, no, don't go out there, Miss Julie.
Look, Anna, get yourself in hand.
Julie, what's going on here?
Something on the street, Father. You'd better go out and see what's happened.
Oh, the creature was about to come up to the balcony, Dr. Lanyon. It was stooped and hideous and...
Put her on the bed, Julia. I'll be right back.
I've just been sitting here peaceful-like, watching the moonlight, ever since you and Dr. Lanyon came back from Dr. Jekyll's party. Then the white-haired gentleman came along, and this monster... Oh,
it's all right, Hannah.
And the white-haired gentleman just asked about the pulse, and this monster struck him with his cane, and then kicked him and kicked
Anna.
Him. It was that Hyde monster, Miss Julie.
But where'd he go?
Well, when I screamed, some people came out from the houses, and she looked round like an animal and then ran away. Oh, he might come back, Miss Julia. Don't let him come back. Don't let him come back.
Here, get back there. What's happened?
The poor blighter, such an old man. He's been murdered, Dr. Lanyon. Good Lord. It's Sir Andrew Carew. Looks like he was on his way to the post and some madman attacked him.
Here are you. Call an officer.
Already been called. Look at this.
What is it?
A walking cane. What the murder was done with, most likely. It's broke plumb in two.
Here, let me see that.
Heavy sort of cane. Easy to do a murder with that.
How terrible. Some maniac's done this.
That Mr. Hyde we've heard so much about, and some folks have seen. That's who's done it.
Oh, it's Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde.
Sherry Kane, with a dog's head carved in the handle.
Why, this is Dr. Jekyll's.
Clark, let me have a room. Any room, quick.
Yes, sir, right away.
And I want a note delivered immediately.
Will you register, sir?
There's a time, I tell you. Give me a room and send me a messenger, quick.
But
hey, you fool! Do you want these fingers around your throat, or will you do as I say?
Oh, yes, sir. Sam, show this gentleman up to 210 and wait for a note he wants delivered.
Oh, my word, fingers around my throat. By golly, I really meant it.
I cannot impress upon you too strongly the importance of this note, Dr. Lanyon. You have been a dear friend, and now my life is in your hands. Go immediately to my house. Poole will admit you. From my laboratory cabinet, remove the fourth drawer from the top, with all its contents intact, and take it to your house, where a man will present himself in my name at exactly midnight tonight. You must not fail me. Henry Jekyll. What an extraordinary thing. Well, I've done as Jekyll said. Now we'll see. Oh, right on the dot. Who's there?
This is me.
Are you from Jekyll?
Yes. Let me in.
Lanyon, you got it.
I have, but look here.
Put her away, Scott. Let me have the drawer.
It's in my study, through that door there.
Yes. Where is it?
There, on the table.
What? A graduated glass.
It's on the shelf beside you, but what are you going to do?
I am going to perform a miracle.
Now, look here. Jekyll didn't say anything about... If this is some fiendish thing Jekyll's cooked up, I'll be no partner to it.
Crystals. Sword.
Who are you, anyway?
Look at it, Dr. Lanyon.
Man, answer me. Who are you?
You've already guessed that, haven't you? I am Mr. Hyde.
Hyde?
Your curiosity great enough to watch me drink this potion?
What are you talking about? Get out of here, you devil!
If you watch me, a new knowledge will be open to you, Dr. Lanyon. And in this room, this instant, your sight will be blasted by a prodigy that would stagger the unbelief of Satan himself.
You're a madman. Get out of my house.
Watch, Dr. Lanyon, watch.
Jekyll. In heaven's name.
It's you. Birth of a good man before your eyes. Now you see why I hid myself away all those weeks, Dr. Lanyon.
Jekyll, what are you saying?
At first it took a strong draught of the formula to bring him to life. Weeks ago that was. But now he's too strong. Now the Jekyll you see before you hasn't the power to keep him back. 2 hours from now, Dr. Lanyon, I'll be Mr. Hyde again. And no strength of my will can stop it.
Jekyll, you're mad. Leave me alone.
I've got alone.
More of the powder, Dr. Lanyon. In heaven's name, don't you see? I've got to find more of the powder. This was the last of it.
Jekyll, have mercy. Let an old man alone.
Together we can do it, Dr. Lanyon. Poole got the powder for me, but the shop where he got it has no more. It must have contained some impurity that did the trick. You've got to help me find out what that impurity was. Dr. Lanyon, you've got to help me murder this evil Hyde in my soul.
Jekyll.
Stop. Why? Stop.
Dr. Lanyon. Dr. Lanyon! No! His heart cannot stand the wonder of your miracle, Dr. Jekyll. You have killed him. The one man who could save your life is dead.
Oh, God bless you, Mr. Addison, for coming so quickly.
Oh, what on earth's happened, fool?
I'm sorely afraid Dr. Jekyll's been murdered, sir.
What? Murdered?
Come with me, sir. Don't make a noise. We mustn't be heard.
But where are you taking me?
Here's a candle, sir. To Dr. Jekyll's laboratory. And if by any chance he asks you in, don't go, Mr. Addison. Don't. Go.
But how could Jekyll be dead?
Quiet, sir, I beg of you. You see, he's been in the laboratory all day, and he won't come out. And every time I knock, wait, and you shall see. Here's the door.
What is it?
Mr. Addison, sir, asking to see you.
Tell him I can't see anybody.
Yes, sir.
Well, that doesn't sound like Jekyll to me.
No, sir, I'm glad to hear you say so, because Mr. Addison, whatever is in there, cries to heaven for help and wails and sobs.
What are you driving at, Poole?
Well, sir, it all began early this morning after they'd found Dr. Lanyon dead.
Yes, I saw him. Such terror in his face.
Well, sir, it was sometimes Dr. Jekyll's way to leave orders on a sheet of paper outside this door. And since early this morning, sir, we've had nothing else except notes at a closed door and food left outside to be smuggled in when nobody was looking. And a dozen times, Mr. Addison, those notes were sent me flying all over London to wholesale chemists for a certain powder. But every time, soon after I brought it back, there'd be another paper telling me to return it because it wasn't right, sir. And this drug, sir, is wanted very badly.
Then maybe it is, Jekyll, fool. Maybe...
Oh, sir, do you think I wouldn't know my master after 20 years? That thing in there, Mr. Addison, had done away with Dr. Jekyll.
Then who do you think it is in there?
I give you my Bible word, Mr. Addison.
It's that monster, Mr. Hyde.
That's what I thought. Come on, we've got to break in.
Yes, sir.
We need an axe, something to pry the door with.
Well, I have the tools here. I've also taken the liberty of sending a footman with the boy around by the by-street entrance, just in case. And I have a gun here, sir.
Good. Can they catch him if he tries to escape?
They can, sir. Here's the axe.
Here, hold the candle.
Right.
I'm going to knock first.
Right.
Mr. Hyde, will you let me in?
I can't see anybody. Go away.
If you don't open the door, I'm going to break it down.
Hutchinson, in heaven's name, have mercy. Leave me alone.
Oh, stand back.
If you value your life, stay away.
We're coming in there, Mr. Hyde.
No. If you break down the door, I'll kill you. Do you hear me? I'll kill you. No. Mr. Hutchinson, wait. Unlock the door.
Give me that gun, Poole.
The door's unlocked. Open it and come in if you dare.
Stand behind me, Poole. I'm going to push it open.
Oh, it's the monster. Mr. Anderson has got a knife.
Stay back from us, Mr. Hyde.
Here you see evil incarnate, Mr. Anderson. And murder. My forte.
So you have murdered Dr. Jekyll?
Because he wished me dead. Now both of you shall die.
Coming at us, sir.
Stay back, Mr. Hyde.
Anderson, look out.
Now.
Is he dead, sir?
He's dead, Paul.
Then we must find Dr. Jekyll. His body must be here somewhere in the laboratory.
Wait. Look.
It's changing, sir. It's...
You're looking at the shell of an evil soul, Poole, dissolving, turning back to the form of its creator.
But it's Dr. Jekyll. What does it mean, Mr. Utterson?
It means the evil man is dead, Poole. For here lies the better half of his duality. Triumphant.
This has been NBC Short Story. Today, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Join us again next time when NBC presents Short Story.
Samson make pina cauldron, boil and bake. I of Ulysses and bones of ferret. Memories of feedback and tongue of Barrett. Alexa's fork and Farnaby's sting. Veterans keg and Damaris's wing. For a drama of powerful trouble. Like a hellbot boil and bubble. Double, double, toil and trouble. Cauldron bubble. Second is a story of Martian persuasion. Alien Xeno defends Mars from Earthman invasion. What is a Plan X and how does it proceed? Can Xeno save Mars from human greed? To your eternal damnation, we give you Plan X.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Jack Benny in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite, following a popular trend, anticipates the strange disappearance of experimental rocket ship Y-272B. The time, the year 2053. The place, the planet Mars. The star, Mr. Jack Benny. And now, Autolite presents transcribed Plan X, starring Mr. Jack Benny, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
The card. Do you have the card yet? One more run through the machine.
Touareg, when do you think the Earth rocket is arriving?
Tomorrow. But if the Grand Council wanted the card before now, they should have asked me before now.
Is that it? Let me see it.
Here.
13756. Zeno. Assembly line worker. Atomic escalator factory. Touareg, this is the man for the job?
He has the specifications called for.
An assembly line worker. Quite incredible. Incredible.
Yes? Yes, right away. You may go in now, Zeno. The Grand Council is ready for you.
One, 13756 called Zeno. Come forward.
Yes, sir.
Zeno, the Grand Council of Mars has a mission for you to perform.
Me? A mission?
You have been selected because of the qualities shown on your work and identity card, Form 42-A. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional or biological drives, and complete suppression of imagination.
Well, I always pride myself.
Do not speak unless questioned, Zeno. The Grand Council has other important matters of state.
Of course, of course.
You have heard the telepathone broadcast that an armed rocket from the planet Earth is approaching Mars.
Oh, I did hear something about it, yes.
Their course has been plotted as bringing them to a landing on the plane outside the city at 10:14 tomorrow morning.
10:14. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
You will see it, Citizen Zeno.
Me?
You.
Well, I'd certainly like to, but I'm due in the atomic escalator factory at 8. I'm on stair treads, you know. And
we've arranged a leave from your job.
Leave? Well, I'm not arguing with the Grand Council, but I've got a pretty important job there, and
13756, you've been selected to meet and deal with the Earth rocket.
Me?
You will put Plan X into operation.
Plan X?
Citizen Zeno, every Martian for the last 50 years has been thoroughly grounded in Plan X, if and when a rocket should come from the Earth.
Oh. Oh, Plan X. Oh, you see, I thought you said Plan X. Of course.
Then you understand and accept the responsibility.
Oh, anything to help out.
Those assisting you on the mission will be in contact with you.
Good, good.
Have the other council members any questions?
No, I don't believe so.
13756 called Zeno. You are now officially operating under the provisions of Plan X.
Well, thank you. I took the aerial transmission belt directly home. Let them get along without me at the escalator factory if they could. Besides, it was almost quitting time. I went to bed early that night. Tomorrow was going to be a big day. Plan X. Out of the whole population of Mars, I was picked to carry out Plan X. Oh, I'll admit I had my criticisms of the Grand Council in the past, but this restored my confidence in them. Yes, sir. They couldn't have picked a better Martian. I think I'll have a second cup of Ostrich, Mother.
Zeno, you haven't time. You'll be late for the factory as it is.
As I told you, Mother, I'm on leave. Orders of the Grand Council.
Oh, yes, of course. Plan X. But will the Grand Council care if you don't get your job back?
There won't be any trouble. They couldn't replace me in stair treads, and they know it. Pass the Gorot, will you, Mother?
Here. But it's fattening, Zeno.
Well, I got a hard pass coming up, Mother. I owe it to myself.
And you will be careful, Zeno.
Oh, Mother, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. It's just an invasion rocket from that stupid planet Earth. So will you stop worrying?
Ah, you're just like your father was, Zeno. Too brave for your own good.
I am? Well, it's nothing, really.
I took my time going over to the field where the Earth rocket was to land. I got there at 10, with not another soul around. Another few minutes, and I had my pocket radar screen working. Yep, the rocket was coming in, right on time. Then I could hear it out in space, and soon after that I could see it, bearing our first visitors from Earth. Gee, I was thinking they must be a brave crew. I almost felt sorry for them. It wasn't a bad landing. Not the greatest, but not bad. After another 10 minutes, a port in the side of the rocket started to swing open, and I walked over. If I do say it myself, I made quite an impression.
Commander. Commander, look.
Great Scott, what is it?
Commander, I think we've met our first Martian.
All right, keep back, everybody. Dr. Fielding and I will deal with it. Him, whatever it is. Hand me the Martian kit, Parker.
All ready, sir.
Come on, Fielding. We'll be ready for anything.
Right, Commander. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I'll try to talk to him.
We Earth people, we friends, we come from out there. Oh, blast that Fielding. I feel like a fool.
Let me try, Commander. We bring you presents here. We bring you beads, cloths of many colors. Take them.
You wouldn't have something a little more conservative?
Fielding, he speaks Esperanto.
Incredible, incredible.
Gentlemen, welcome to Mars.
It's almost as if he was expecting us.
Oh, yes, for some days now. Ever since you left Earth, as a matter of fact.
You hear that, Fielding?
Commander, we may very well be in the presence of a superior race.
Well, thank you.
You say you expected us? Everyone expected us?
Oh, certainly.
But you're here alone.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, all other adult Martians are, shall we say, unavailable.
For how long?
Not wishing to pry, but how long are you staying?
Well, they've taken to the hills, have they? No need to be afraid of us. No need at all.
There's no one in your city over there?
Mainly unavailable. But I'll be glad to show you around. Martian hospitality, you know.
Amazing. Can we go right away, Commander? I'll get Connie.
You can call her, Fielding. But we don't want to blunder into a trap.
All right, men. All in. Parker, take 3 men and stay here for rocket guard.
Yes, sir.
Ready, Fielding?
All set, Commander. Connie, I want you to meet our first Martian.
Dr. Fielding, I don't believe it.
Miss Morrison, this is,
13756. Call Zeno.
Miss Morrison, this is Zeno.
How do you do?
Well, how do you do?
Incredible. But he's almost handsome in a strange way. And he speaks our language.
Maybe a trick of some kind.
Expedition force, on to...
It's a little difficult to pronounce.
On to the city!
We march into the city, which, of course, appeared quite deserted. Plan X. I showed them a few of the sites, the canals, the Og factory, and the hall of the Grand Council. I was walking alongside of Connie, Miss Morrison, who was most unlike the women of Mars. I caught myself showing off, riding the aerial transmission belt with one hand. Finally, I took them all to the art museum.
Oh, Commander, this place, this civilization, it's fantastic, fantastic.
Look at the sculpture, Dr. Fielding, the line, the detail. I've never seen anything so beautiful.
It's nothing, really.
Zeno, you don't mean that you...
Well, no. You see, I work at an atomic escalator factory. I'm in stair treads.
Everybody, over here. Look at this.
Oh, what is it?
What,
Why, isn't that what...
Zeno, is this what I think it is?
Hmm? I'll have to read the nameplate. Oh, yes, a flying saucer from 1952, your calendar. 100 years old.
1952, the year of the flying saucers. Then they did come from Mars.
Oh, yes.
But none of them ever landed on Earth. Why?
It just didn't seem worthwhile. Nothing personal, of course.
I just can't get over this planet. It's so different from anything we imagined.
Now, here's something you might be interested in. Right over here.
Looks like a weapon of some kind.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you see, it's a paralyzer ray. 300 years old.
But why do you have it in the museum?
You don't mean that weapons like this are 300 years obsolete?
Well, you might say that, yes. You see, no adult Martian has carried a weapon for hundreds of years.
Well, why not?
Why should we?
But to defend yourself.
Well, we just have no aggressive impulses, that's all.
Well, if someone struck you, wouldn't you strike back?
I couldn't. But it doesn't matter. No one could strike me.
No Martian, that is.
Yeah. We've never had any trouble.
Zeno, you're in the diplomatic service?
The escalator game.
Yet you were delegated to meet us.
Yes, by the Grand Council. You see, we stopped having diplomats handle our important missions years ago. Again, nothing personal, of course.
I see. But you are empowered to deal with us.
Deal with you? I certainly am.
Good. Now, it seems logical to me that we should work out a mutual defense pact. Not right now, of course.
Mr. Zeno! Mr. Zeno!
Who's that?
We look like children.
We have to see you, Mr. Zeno.
Just some little friends of mine.
Oh, they're darling.
What's the problem, Ormy?
We're building something, and we're all out of uranium. We need some right away, and...
Zeno, does he mean real uranium?
Oh, of course, Dr. Fielding. Oh, it won't hurt them a bit.
We have to have it right away, Mr. Zeno. We just have to have it.
This city was deserted. Where did these children come from?
Oh, you know how it is with kids when they get to playing.
You'll get the uranium for us, won't you, Mr. Zeno? Will you?
Fascinating. What are they playing, Zeno?
Yes. What's the game?
I don't think you've heard of it, Commander. It's called Plan X.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Jack Benny in Plan X. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Harlow, do you like to make speeches?
Sure, Hap, especially about the Autolite Stay Full battery. Friends, Romans, motorists, lend me your ears while I praise the greatest of the great, the incomparable Autolite Stay Full. The battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. The battery that gives longer life as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards. The famous Autolite Stay Full has over 3 times the liquid reserve of ordinary batteries. And because every positive plate is protected by fiberglass retaining mats to reduce shedding and flaking, the Autolite Stay Full just naturally gives longer life than ordinary batteries.
And where can one get this glorious battery?
From your nearest Autolite battery dealer who services all makes of batteries. To quickly locate him, just phone Western Union and ask for Operator 25.
And I'll tell you where you can get an Autolite Stay Full, the battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite. And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Jack Benny in Elliot Lewis's production of Plan X, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
For the next week, I showed the Earth expedition around the city, signed a few treaties, and had several long conversations with Miss Morrison. Well, not too long, but I felt we were building a solid friendship. It was too bad it was coming to an end.
You're not going out again this evening, Zeno?
Mother, so I've been out 2 evenings in a row. Doesn't have to be fatal, you know.
This is the time of year you always get that chest cold.
Oh, chest cold, chest cold. Anyway, Mother, I have to go over to the rocket.
Don't they plan to go back to Earth tomorrow?
They plan to, yes. Miss Morrison promised to take a little farewell walk with me this evening.
Don't let her keep you out in the moonlight too long, Zeno.
Mother, why, that's the most ridiculous thing.
You just don't know how attractive you are.
Now, Mother, Miss Morrison and I are merely friends. And to think of anything beyond that is just...
Mr. Zeno! We're almost finished the game, Mr. Zeno.
Good, good. All finished, Army?
Just about. It's tomorrow morning at 8:45, isn't it?
8:45. Anything else you need, Army? I mean, any more uranium?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was 8:45. Well, see you in the morning, Mr. Zeno. Bye, Mr. Zeno.
See you in the morning, Army.
Such a cute little fellow, Zeno. And smart.
Is he? Mother, you have no idea. The Earth expedition was camped beside their rocket, getting ready for takeoff the next day. Connie, Miss Morrison, waved when she saw me coming. I waved back, and then she smiled at me, and I smiled back. It was a beautiful evening. We walked out over the plain, Connie and I, and then we sat down quite close. Connie lit a cigarette, and I opened up a package of Gurkhog.
Zeno?
Yes, Connie. Miss Morrison.
Connie. How is it you're not married, Zeno? Don't Martians believe in it?
Oh, definitely. But there's Mother and...
And what?
Connie, you don't find me a little bit strange?
You mean because you're a Martian?
Not exactly. You see, even to Martian girls, I'm a little bit strange.
I find you very attractive, Zeno.
Really?
You're from a superior race.
Well...
The commander may not see it, but Dr. Fielding does, and I do. Your civilization, your culture, and you.
Actually, I'm...
What are the other Martians like? You know, I seem to feel there are people all around watching, waiting, and yet we've seen only you.
And the children, of course.
Yes, and the children. They've been playing around the rocket all day.
Yes, yes.
Zeno, what'll happen to this planet, this beautiful planet, when the next Earth rocket comes? And the next one?
Connie.
I'd almost like to stay here. Or I wish we'd never come. None of us.
Connie, there's something I...
What, Zeno? What is it?
It's just that... It's getting cold. Maybe we better go back. I walked with Connie back to the rocket, and then I went home. There was a message on the autophonopad. The Grand Council wanted to see me at once. You sent for me, gentlemen?
13756 called Zeno. You are nearing the completion of Plan X.
I hope my work has been satisfactory.
You were selected for certain qualifications, Zeno. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional drives.
I remember, yeah.
You have assumed a responsibility based on those qualifications.
I suppose you might put it that way.
Are you still prepared to discharge that responsibility?
Well, I think you might as well know that it's been my criticism in the past, as well as that of a lot of other taxpayers, that the Grand Council interferes entirely too much in the private lives of, well, what I mean to say...
Are you prepared to discharge your responsibility?
But about Connie, I mean Miss Morrison, isn't there some way...
You know that there is not.
Well, I suppose not, no.
Plan X will then be completed.
I assure the Grand Council, at 8:45 tomorrow morning, Plan X will be completed. I didn't sleep well that night. Mother was worried when I hadn't any appetite in the morning. She thought it was the start of one of my chest colds. Purposely, I didn't go out to the rocket until almost 8:40. They were blasting the motors, getting ready to take off.
Zeno, I thought you weren't coming.
I overslept, Connie. That is, I didn't really oversleep, but...
The children have been here for an hour.
We're just about finished playing, Mr. Zeno.
Oh, good, Army. Did you win the game? Plan X?
I think so. We'll know in a minute, Mr. Zeno.
They're so intense. Are the children on Mars always that way, Zeno?
Well, not always, no.
Ah, come to see us off, did you, Zeno? Good boy. We counted on you.
Well, thank you.
Come over here, Fielding.
Yes, Commander.
Connie, Fielding, Zeno here has been so helpful to us that I've come to a decision.
That's very nice of you, but I'm pretty well stocked up on beads right now.
A different kind of a present. Zeno, I've decided to invite you to come with us to Earth.
To Earth?
How about it, Zeno? We're taking off in 16 minutes at 9 o'clock. How about it?
Well, it's not that I don't appreciate your thinking of me, but Mother would worry and...
You see, we need you, Zeno.
That's not true.
Well, I'm afraid it is. You see, I think Zeno is a much more important man than a worker in an elevator factory.
Escalator. I'm in stair trance.
And if we have Zeno along the next time we come back to Mars, we'd be much less likely to run into, well, an ambush.
I'm afraid he's right, Connie.
He's not right.
How about it, Zeno?
Thanks, but no.
Commander, those kids, they've got some sort of a ray gun set up.
Fielding. Is it real, Fielding?
It looks like it, Commander.
Get Zeno over in front of us, quick. Now they can't shoot without hitting him. Get your gun out, Parker.
You mean the kids, Commander?
If we have to, yes. Tell them not to fire on us, Zeno.
I'm sorry, Connie. Really sorry.
Oh, it's all right, Zeno. Do what you have to do.
Shall we shoot, Mr. Zeno?
Have your gun ready, Parker.
It wouldn't do any good, Commander. All right, Army. Plan X.
Did you fire, Parker?
Me, sir? Fire a gun? Why, I couldn't. I couldn't do a thing like that.
No, of course you couldn't. I don't know what made me ask.
The rocket, its motors have stopped. Its motors have stopped, Commander.
Well, we aren't going anywhere, are we?
Someone said something about going back to Earth.
Back to Earth?
Oh, no. Of course not.
Everybody all right?
What happened, Commander? What happened?
Nothing, really. It's just that Army and his little friends built a maturity ray. It takes people who are, shall we say, less advanced and increases their IQ by several thousand years.
That's amazing.
Child's play.
Zeno, do you mean to say...
Commander, Dr. Fielding, Parker, Connie, permit me to congratulate you as fellow Martians.
Utterly amazing.
Connie.
Look, here come the Martians.
Our fellow Martians, thousands of them. They're coming to welcome us.
Connie.
Oh, look at them. Oh, they look so handsome, so intelligent, so...
Connie.
Yeah, excuse me, Zeno. I'll be back, Commander. I have to go to them. I'll be back.
Well, she did like me for a while before Plan X. But she did like me, even just for a while. That's something, isn't it?
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Jack Benny. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Plan X was written for Suspense by Richard Powell. Featured in tonight's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Norma Varden, John McIntyre, Truda Marson, Howard McNear, William Conrad, Jack Crucian, Joseph Kearns, and Stuffy Singer.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins.
I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
My name is Victoria Winters. Night time has come to Collinwood, and with the encroaching darkness, wisps of fog have blown in from the sea. Fog that is difficult to penetrate. Fog that can hide many secrets. Far away from Collinwood, the approach of darkness has meant the beginning of a night of terror for one man. For a young girl has mysteriously and unexplainably disappeared.
Joe, I thought you'd never get here.
Bert and Vicky wanted to come along.
Hello, Sam. Did Maggie come back?
No, and I'm scared to death. I don't know what's happened to her.
Well, don't push the panic button. She could be all right.
Maybe she just went for a walk.
Went out of the sick bed, and last time I saw her, she was so sick she couldn't even move. She's been peculiar all week. That's what worries me. I don't know what's happening to her.
Peculiar? In what way?
Well, she's just not like the old Maggie. She's nervous, edgy, remote.
Well, Joe can tell you. That's right, she is. She's acting strangely tonight when we had our fight. And the thing of it was almost as if she picked the fight.
Why would she do that?
To get me out of the house.
But why would she want you out of the house?
She would if she had some place to go and my being here stopped her.
Where would she want to go? Especially at night. But where could she be? Sam, have you phoned the sheriff?
Yes, a few minutes ago. He and his deputies are out looking for her now.
Good. Let's split up. Search for her on our own. Okay. Joe, you and Sam go into town. You know all the places she might be. The coffee shop, friend's house. You know where to look.
Right.
I'll try all the back roads leading out of town.
Yeah. Let's go. We haven't got a minute to waste.
Bert, what shall I do?
Well, someone should stay here. She might come back.
All right.
You don't mind waiting here alone. You'll be okay.
Sure.
I'll be back before you know it.
Ask you the same question.
I have a message for Mr. Evans from Mr. Collins.
He's not here. I'll see to it that he gets it, though. What is it?
Mr. Collins will be busy till after midnight, so Mr. Evans isn't supposed to come to the house till then.
Well, I don't think Mr. Evans is going to be able to do any painting tonight.
Well, why not?
His daughter has disappeared. He's out looking for her.
Disappeared? She's disappeared?
That's right. We're all very upset.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about Maggie.
What? Hey, there something else you want to say?
No. You just tell Mr. Evans I was here.
I will.
Maggie Evans. She's in danger.
Who is this?
Go after Maggie Evans right now. I can tell you where to find her.
Please, who is this?
Now just listen to me if you want to save your friend.
I'll listen.
Go to the graveyard. That's where you'll find her.
What graveyard?
The graveyard on Eagle Hill. Go there if you want to save her. Go right now.
Please give me the sheriff's office. It's very important. Please give it to me right away. Well, look. Keep ringing. It's an emergency. Hello, that's all right. Thank you.
Vicky.
Oh, Burke, thank heaven you're here.
What's the matter?
Somebody called. He said he knew where to find Maggie.
What?
Yes, he said, whoever he is, he said that she's in the graveyard on Eagle's Hill.
Graveyard?
Yes. He said that that's where we can find her. And we have to find her there because she's in danger.
What does this guy sound like? Could you recognize the voice?
No.
Are you sure?
No, but I didn't know who he was. I couldn't tell who he sounded like because it seemed as though he had his voice disguised. And then I phoned the sheriff and he wasn't there.
Oh, no. He and his men are out looking for Maggie.
Do you think there's anything to the call?
I don't know, but we'd better not take any chances. I better go up to that graveyard, take a look around.
Burke, I'm going with you.
A graveyard at night is no place for you.
Well, I'd much rather be there than I would be here alone. Burke, I'm scared.
All right, you come along. But you're not budging 2 inches from my side, okay?
Don't worry about
that. We must go somewhere else, my dear. Come. Come.
Van Gresham!
Willie, what are you doing here?
I knew you'd be here. I had to come after you. You're not safe here. Her friends, they know where she is. They're coming after you. You gotta get out of here.
How would they know where to find her, Willie?
Well, I don't know, but they found out where she is. They're coming here. They're on their way.
How do you know that?
Well, I heard. Please, Barnabas, we got to get out of here.
Willie.
What did I tell you? They're here. Let's get out of here.
Come with me, my dear.
Hey!
Come hey. With me.
Hey!
Leave her, Barnabas. We haven't got time to waste. Come on.
Maggie.
And she must be somewhere around here.
Maggie! Maggie!
Maggie!
Let's head off in this direction. Stay close to me.
Maggie! Maggie! We're getting closer. Leave her, Barnabas. We gotta get out of here. We gotta go in it's safe.
Maggie, can you hear me?
Come on.
See anything?
Nothing.
Burke!
What is it?
Over there. I thought I saw something.
Come on, take a look.
Over there. It's Maggie!
Maggie?
Is she?
She's all right. She's only faint. Oh, she's coming out of it.
Maggie. Maggie, what are you doing here? What happened? I'm in a graveyard. How did I get in a graveyard? Can't you remember anything?
I remember going to bed, and I had some bad dreams. Next thing I remember is you standing close to me. That's all I remember.
Don't let her talk anymore. Let's get her home.
Yes.
What is it?
Look over there. Did you see something?
No. Why?
I thought I saw something moving. It looked like a figure of a man. I better go and check. You and Maggie be all right? I'll be gone in a second.
I guess so.
You stay here for a moment. Stay close to Maggie.
Be
heard him go.
Quiet, you idiot.
How did we get here? How did I get here? Safe now, Maggie.
No, not a thing. You're completely deserted.
It must have been your imagination.
Yeah, maybe here. And we better get out of here. Come on, Maggie. Can you walk?
I think so.
Here. Let me carry you. Come on, let's
Let's get going. Gone, we're safe.
And you have some explaining to do. How did he know where to find the girl?
I told you, Barnabas, I don't know.
But you did know he was coming here, didn't you?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I told you, I overheard them talking.
Where did that happen?
Well, I went to the Evans cottage to give Mr. Evans your message. And they were talking about going to the graveyard. That's how I knew.
No one would have known to come to the graveyard, Willie. No one told them, except you.
I didn't tell them, Barnabas, honest.
You're a bad liar, Willie. You told them.
Barnabas, I wouldn't do that.
You must have told them. You must have betrayed me.
No,
you shouldn't have done that, Willie. That means I'm going to have to punish you.
I didn't do anything.
I must teach you your lesson, Willie. You'll never betray me again. Oh! Oh!
Listen, Sam, I can't take this waiting. I think we better call for the state troopers.
Go ahead.
Hey!
John.
Tell me, what's the matter?
What'd you find? Here, I'll explain when I get on you.
Go ahead, sir.
Maggie, look at me. Are you okay?
Darling,
what happened? Where did you go? She can't talk, Sam. Let me take you into her room.
You don't touch me!
Maggie, what is... John, darling, what's the matter?
What's wrong?
I can't breathe. Choke.
Oh, yeah, that handkerchief's too tight. I think I should take it off.
No! No! Oh.
Maggie!
She passed out. Here.
Let me get this thing off. Look.
I see.
See what? What is it? Those marks. Her neck. Look
at them. How is she, Joe?
I guess she's better. She came out of it for a little bit.
Good. Well, you've had a pretty rough night. Maybe you ought to go home and get some rest.
Okay. What time would you like me to come back in the morning?
Oh, I don't know. I'll give you a call.
Anytime.
Well, I found these keys. I think I'm going to lock these windows.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, Joe. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Maggie. See you soon.
Bye.
Let me out!
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 good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. Ha 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 ha!